Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So, how many sinners do I have in the house?
Me.
Me.
We're all sinners.
Hey.
Well, I'm about to show you where you're wrong.
Oh, goody.
If your identity still is a sinner, you don't understand who you are. I'm not saying we don't contend with sin, but that's not who we are. That is not who we are. Because I don't remember Jesus saying on the cross, well, that's a pretty good start. I'm pretty sure he said it's finished. You know, not, well, we'll start here and see where it goes. You're still in the pit you were in. Because either Jesus died for our sins or he didn't. It's really that simple. But Religion tells us that we have to see ourselves as lowly sinners saved by grace. We are not our past. We are not our past. As a matter of fact, I sometimes talk about salvation is the great exchange. So, we sell our crap for top dollar. We're worse than any used car salesman. Because we sell our sin, our mess, our brokenness. Jesus bought with his blood. It doesn't even belong. Our brokenness no longer belongs to us. It belongs to God. Our brokenness belongs to God because he transformed us, and I know we're a work in progress. I'm not putting down process. We're all in a process. But how we see ourselves is how we conduct ourselves. If we see ourselves as lowly sinners, we'll conduct ourselves as though we are lowly sinners. We will conduct ourselves in such a way that, yeah, we'll struggle twice as much with sin if we see ourselves as sinners. It's like when we quit drinking and you think about alcohol all the time. Well, you might want to stop thinking about alcohol all the time. You might want to think about what's next, who we are now, who God has created us to be. And I haven't even started my text yet. But sometimes I do like to ask people that question about, are you a sinner? Because I want to know where people's identities. You can't see yourself as a sinner and a son or a daughter at the same time. You know, you've been brought into the family business. And I'm going to start, and this is going to shock people that know me, but I'm going to Romans 8. And so, I'm going to start Romans 8, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so we all also may be glorified with him. So I'm going to break that down a little. I mean, this crowd's pretty smart. I may not need to, but I'm going to anyway because I can. So first, I want to qualify that sons is a non-gender-specific term. The word that sons comes from is gender-neutral. And I know we don't like to say, that gets complicated today, but simply it means person or child. I believe that the way I look at this is that it is, we are authoritative children of the Most High God. We walk in authority. We are not under fear. We are not under obligation to the law. And earlier in the chapter, it talks about this. If I, preached on all of Romans 8, we'd be here for about 3 days. Because I talk a lot, and maybe there's a lot to unpack in Romans 8. So we are children with authority and power. And I find it interesting that when we're under adoption is really cool because it's not just a habit, it's a decision. And God decided to make us his children and to make us heirs of his kingdom and co-heirs with Christ. Think about that. Co-heirs with Christ. If you are a co-heir with Christ, your identity as a sinner should go by God. It should go by God. And I think sometimes we think that we, and I've been accused of being arrogant because I say I am not a sinner. I'm a son. And people have accused me of arrogance for that. It's not arrogance. It's not out of pride. It's not out of cockiness. It's out of me understanding what was done for me. That I cannot stand in that position except that Jesus paid my debt. There's a song that says, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And that's where it is. We like to sometimes stand. The church traditionally, the Christian church, I don't say any specific denomination, has traditionally stood with a foot in each covenant. We say we're under grace, but we get transactional and try to be good enough and square it away enough. The problem is that we get the cart before the horse. We're trying to be good enough to have a godly identity. But we're already good enough. I had a pastor who was a psychologist, and I didn't hold that against him. But he was talking one time, he was preaching, and there was when he was an intern, he was interning with a Christian, and they were in a psychiatric hospital, and this one guy was having trouble forgiving himself for something. And he was a believer. And the question this guy was mentoring my pastor asked the guy is, so you're telling me that you have sin that is so powerful that the blood of Jesus Christ can't cover it? And it broke something in that man, because the man had never looked at it that way. The man had never looked at it that way. And I talk to people all the time who are believers but still think they're under sin, bondage to sin. I'm not saying we don't fight with it, contend with it, but it's not who we are. Jesus took care of your sin issue. You know, I chewed on this coir of Christ for over a year. I couldn't, it was just, it messed with me. It messed with me. I had a gentleman named Craig come into my life, and he's so weird he makes me look grown. The dude is crazy. But he brought some things to me that I had covered with. I just thought they were nuts. I thought it was mad crap, crazy. Oh, he is, but he wasn't wrong on these things he brought to me. I think some of the best people out there are bad crap, crazy. You know, I'd rather deal with a crazy person than a religious person any day of the week. I would, because at least crazy people. You know, when we get into the religion, it's fake, it's phony, it's why people don't want to come to the church. Because they're tired, that they're not as naive as previous generations. And they want real. They want authentic. They don't care if a pastor or a leader is a little messy. They don't care if we're a little broken. They don't care if we're a little messed up. What they care about is that we're real, we're legitimate, and our love for them is real and legitimate. You know, not the fake plastic smile, but get real with someone. Don't be afraid to tell someone you're witnessing to what you struggle with. Do not be afraid of that. You don't have to present some image that no human being could do. We have to be real and show love. And so when I started looking, I said, well, if we're co-heirs with Christ, wait, that means I can't be a sinner. And now we all know that it is virtually impossible to never commit a sin. You know, even little children have trouble with that. But the reality from the transaction is that I am justified by faith. I am justified by faith. Therefore, I am just. I am righteous. Not because of me, but because of what he did. I know I was visiting a church once, and the pastor, just before he preached, said, so how many righteous people in the building? I was the only one to raise my hand. Not because I'm cocky or arrogant, but because I know what the transaction did. Yeah. I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That is a fact. That is who I am. I'm his son. We're his sons and daughters. We're princes and princesses. Don't get that confused, you know. Melvin, we are princes. No, but we are princes and princesses. We are royalty. Because we are co-heirs with Christ. That means if I'm a co-heir with someone, everything that he's heir to, I'm heir to. So his inheritance, I have the same inheritance as Jesus Christ does. And man, I had to chew on that for a year because someone put that to me. I thought, this is crazy. This dude is out of his mind. Well, he was, but not on this. Years ago, I was at this little gathering, and I had met someone, just talking to someone, and one of the women there said, don't take Rod serious unless he's talking about spiritual matters. knowing me, you know, that I get very serious and real when it comes to matters of the kingdom of God and who we are. And when we realize that we're walking in God's authority, we're walking in His strength, we're walking in His power, that we have everything at our disposal that Jesus had at His disposal when He walked this planet. We have it all. And when we realize that, I'm not saying we're better than Jesus. I'm not saying we're equal to Jesus. So please don't get what I'm saying twisted. What I'm saying is that God has given us the same resources that He gave His Son. He's given us those resources, that power, the authority. You know, I was talking to someone once, and I was talking about going to the jazz festival in New Orleans. And they told me the same thing that people told me when I came off the Ithaca. You don't want to go there. It's a dark place. Really? Well, maybe I don't understand the Bible very well, but I think since the fall of the garden, the whole planet's been a dark place.
Come on.
You know, maybe there was a mental thing. You know, maybe I don't have the right app. But according to my understanding, it tends to be flavor of darkness. It tends to be flavor of darkness. The gossip's tongue is no different than the practitioner of witchcraft.
That's right.
Actually, the gossip's tongue probably does more damage. Sin is sin to God. And sometimes we try to quantify it and make some sins worse. It's the worst thing you could ever do. Okay. I still covered by grace. I don't intentionally go out saying, how can I sin today? I want to test God's grace. Let me see how I can sin and ruin my life. Because a lot of the consequences of sin are not punishment from God. They're just consequences of bad decisions and actions.
Yep.
A lifelong alcoholic is not cursed by God with cirrhosis of the liver. Yeah, sorry. But that's not a curse from God when someone who's poisoning themselves gets it. Because God has not cursed us under the blood. When people talk about curses, see, the blood breaks in a curse. And we stand in authority against that kind of stuff. Because we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And we walk in the authority of God. Now, I understand there are different offices with the fivefold ministry. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about we all walk in authority because we are children of God. And here, you know, it says, by which we can cry out, Abba, Father. Yes, and I think it's an interesting conversation. Because one word here means daddy.
Amen.
Like Jewish kids and Hebrew kids, when daddy comes home, they'll come running up, Abba, 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 Abba. Now, father is more like Yahweh, which is more like, it's the authority of God. So we can cry out in a close, intimate relationship with this biggest authority that exists. And I think that it was not a mistake that these two words were put together here. I don't think Paul wrote a lot by accident. He wrote under the unction of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And we live under the unction of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We live under that unction. We live under that power. We live under that authority of the Most High God. We don't have to go around and look at ourselves as less than. It's not good enough. Because the blood of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost has made us more than conquerors. You feel you're not good enough, the Bible says you're more than a conqueror.
No.
Okay.
Still there.
I thought I was going dead here for a minute. Well, the mic. It was scary. There was a pastor in Morsets that dropped dead of a heart attack while he ministered. He was praying for someone. I would have hated to have been that person. I killed the pastor. So, but we are authoritative. We walk in power, not because we're really great, but because of what God has done for us. And so, in closing, and you know what they say in closing, we make it to an evangelist. I'm going to try to say within a time, right? So, when we walk in that authority, and we understand that authority, and the identity of who we are, we will change the world. Will change our world, the world around us. You know, I often preach it and remind people that, do you know what percentage of people are in church because of pastor Bible? Any idea? Under 5. Do you know how many people are in church because of television ads? About 3%. Guess what 80% of the people sitting in church are there from? Personal invites for a friend or someone they know. Or a family. When I first researched this for a sermon I did, I was thinking, oh, it's probably going to be 40 or 50% here that are my personal invite. You know, I thought the number was going to be high. I almost fell out of my chair when I found out it was about 80%. Every research went from 75%. 85%, you know, because I didn't go on just one research. And I was just like, wow, you guys are the ones that are going to reach the most people. And actually, I remember when I stood up at a church in Painted Post, and I said, I just want to let you guys know it's not my job to lead people. And they looked at me like, then why are you here? So I did a teaching on the fivefold ministry. And the purpose outside of the evangelist, the purpose of the rest of the fivefold ministry is to perfect saints for works of ministry.
Yes.
My job as a pastor is to get you ready to go out there and do the fast. Feed the sick. Pray for the sick. Feed the poor. Minister to people that are hurting. Hug someone that needs a hug. Show God's love. Tell them about who Jesus is and who you are because of what Jesus did. Let them know that you are who you are. You are who you are, and who you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that is powerful. You see people I have never seen. Everyone has a sphere of influence. And you guys will all see people I'll never get to talk to unless you bring them here. And if you bring them here, I'll talk to them because I talk to just about everyone who comes to the door. That's kind of how I roll. You know, and I have to talk to people. The job where I get to talk to people who drive is like a dream job. So I just, in closing, I want you to think about who you are. There's no religion that you are, which is just a lowly sinner saved by grace. A miserable piece of because, you know, I'm just so good. Yeah. If I'm a co-heir with Christ, I'm pretty darn good. We are good. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are His children. It's like, okay, a family business. And our family business is the kingdom of God and moving it on the earth.
Yes.
And we're all executives in that business. We're all executives. I'm not talking about, there are certain offices that are there. And I'm not talking about the offices, but in a sense, we're executives. Because we're ambassadors for Christ. We go to represent the family. And our family is children of God. I mean, really, how attractive is just the lowly servant sitting with grace? Gee, why do people want more of that? That's very attractive. But I'm not talking about the faith of being alone. I'm talking about really understanding who we are. And walking in that. Walking in who we really are. And if you're born again, you are that. You are that. And if you think you're any less than that, you're listening to a lie. I mean, really, who would want us, let me think, who would want us to think we're lowly and just pieces of dung and not be so effective? Could it be Satan? Yes. The demonic kingdom would love us to think that we're just lowly pieces of trash. Because we're not going to step in to what God has for us. We're not going to step into our full call. We're not going to step into our full authority. And we are not going to change much of the world. Because people don't want some more religion. People don't need more religion.
That's right.
We need more religion like you need holes in a rowboat. We don't need more religion. We need the power of God. We need the Holy Ghost. We need to step up and be the agents of revival.
Woo! Yes.
Revival is coming. I've been sensing this in my prayer life for a few months now. And I don't think it's going to be the big stadium tonight. It's going to be the small little community churches. It's going to be the home fellowships. It's going to be one rich and one. And I believe that we're on a cusp of a great revival. And if we're looking for the old revivals, I had someone in my office when I was in Canada Post. They're like, come to talk to me because this is like, well, we want a revival like the one in the 90s. You know, Toronto. Yeah, people then want stuff like Azusa Street. If you're so concerned with past revivals, you might miss the revival that's actually going on in your midst. You might miss what God's doing right now. I don't want that revival. I love that revival. I had a lot of cool things happen to me in that revival. It was great, but that was then. I want what God's doing now. I want to be sensitive to what God's doing now. I want to be that son. I want to be that son who rises up with the authority that I've been given. You know we have authority over angels, right?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
We have authority over angels. I was visiting a friend of mine in Washington State, Columbia. It's that crazy mentor. And we're going through this walk. We're going through a walk near the Capitol. And I stopped dead. And he's got one of those currency desks. And he says, "What's up?" I said, "There's an angel up there." And he said, "Tell me about it." So I start describing this angel. He starts laughing. He said, "Yeah, we did spiritual work over 20 years ago and close to an angel." And to some people, that sounds crazy. It sounds a little crazy.
No. Real.
But it's real.
Yes.
You do have that authority. Now, I'm not saying you sit there and say, "I'll put an angel here, there, and everywhere." You know, you've got to be led by the Holy Ghost. You've got to do things under the unction of the Spirit of God. Because if it's not under the unction of the Spirit of God, I'm not led interested. I'm not impressed just because someone posts me into this wall. But what I am impressed is when the Spirit of God is in us and we respond to the unction of the Holy Ghost. We respond to that unction and worlds change. This planet changes.
Yes.
Things will change. You want to deal with the social ills of the world? Pray to revival. Step up. Realize who you are, who God has created you to be. Step up. Now, I'm going to close in a quick prayer, but Melvin, the worship team's going to come up.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.